following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning. Welcome to the Delmarva Potting Shed. This is Donna, one of the managers here at East Coast Garden Center. Along with us at the controls is Lawrence, and Maria's joined us for the first half hour to share some of her expertise, and we're really looking forward to having some fun here. But for our regular listeners, you may be wondering, well, where are the Cordrys? I don't hear Val, I don't hear Chris, I don't hear Rick. Well, they're off this weekend at Cultivate. It's one of the big shows for the horticultural industry. And so not only will they be there to learn and pick up new tips and share things that they do, but we're all very proud and excited that Chris Cordry is receiving an award. It's called the 40 Under 40. And it's really looking at the top 40 young people in the industry who have achievements in terms of entrepreneurship, innovation, leadership, and Chris was nominated and has been given that award. So
nice.
Chris, very, very nice. So Chris, we're very proud of you. You're continuing the leadership role that both Valerie and Rick have set for you, and we've certainly benefited for your expertise here, both at East Coast and at RSC Landscaping. So Maria and I are giving you a big shout out to Chris, Val, and Rick. And also there's our other manager, Katie, head of operations. She's there too. Katie, big shout out to you. Callie just came through and said, hi, Mommy. So we'll get down to business now. What we're going to do is we really want to focus on the hot summer, strategies, tips, things that you need to be mindful of. And Maria is really one of our go-to people in this area for the newsletter. Every month you'll see her gardening tips. And so I'm going to turn it over to Maria, and she's going to tell you some things that you need to stay on top of.
Well, thanks, Donna, and good morning, everybody. Yes, every week, if you do not get our gardening tips, please do sign up, or you can also go to www.eastcoastgardencenter.com, and you can sign up there. Not only do we have gardening tips, but we also have our specials, sales, anything, events, anything that's happening here at East Coast Garden Center. It's a great website. Don't forget Chris's Cocktail of the Month.
Yes.
It's always on there. And lots of good stuff. So if you haven't received it, please do sign up. If you do, hope you're enjoying it. And especially at this time of year, one of the main things I like to start off with, I categorize things into groupings with annuals, perennials, bulbs, trees, shrubs, houseplants, and things like that. But one thing that to be mindful of at this time of year is really important when doing gardening outside is always to do it in the morning or the evening. You want to be sure to wear light clothing and bug spray if when necessary, and lots of water, a hat, and just make sure that you're not out there in the heat of the day. It's been pretty hot outside and humid. So we're talking about annuals and perennials, and I'm sure that if you have planted a vegetable garden by now, you hopefully you're harvesting lots of fruits and vegetables out of there. Don't forget to just keep harvesting them. If you need to, you can things. As far as flowers go, if you continue to deadhead or remove the spent blossoms on there, you'll get more and more flowers. And the plants will look a lot healthier. Remember that watering is critical at this stage of the game, especially in containers where things are really root bound. You need to sometimes maybe even water them twice a day.
Right.
And they also can stand for fertilizer every couple weeks, because when you're constantly watering those containers, you're depleting the nutrients in them. So you want to make sure to keep up with the food on the plants, deadheading them, and I'll keep them going really well.
And you know, Maria, I think it's an excellent point about the containers, and the because a lot of times we end up with people watering things too much.
Yeah.
But for really to understand in the heat with containers, it's difficult unless you don't have drainage to, you know, to do
over
it too
water.
Much.
I yeah.
can. The other day, my milkweed was like halfway through the day, it was crusted up and, you know, drooping already, and I'd watered it, you know, really good that morning. So it's good for people to remember that. It can happen to you quickly.
Really quickly, yeah. So, and even plants that that are in containers that do prefer mostly sun can stand the shade during the afternoon, because it's really oppressive out there for the flowers. You want to make sure that when you're watering your garden, be using soaker hoses are best. I'm a big fan of soaker hoses. Keeps the water off of the foliage of the leaves, which helps to deter diseases and things like that, especially on hydrangeas and roses where you get black spot. You probably have a lot of bulbs that have been blooming. Always get a lot of questions about bulbs, especially in the springtime, like after the daffodils have finished.
Right.
Everybody wants to cut that foliage off.
Yep.
Don't do it.
Don't.
Just let it yellow back, and so that all that nitrogen goes back into the bulb. Fun thing, an older lady that I used to know, she used to braid her leaves. It looked pretty.
Yeah, I never got that energetic with it, but what I did find handy was to just take it and kind of fold it over and then take a rubber band. Twine and and tie it off, so it looked a lot neater.
Yeah, it's a little tidier.
Yeah.
So many things going on in the garden right now, especially a lot of pollinators are out, which is fun. I'm going to go back into another subject.
Yep.
We just had just finished up the children's garden program through Dell Tech. Had a great group of kids, had a lot of fun, but we're having a lot of difficulty finding caterpillars this year.
Ah.
Whether the predators are getting to them, which I think so. Just didn't have too many caterpillars. Although a couple weeks ago, we did have three chrysalides morph.
I got to see it.
Yeah, three like within like 2 minutes of each other, just one, two, three, bing, bang, boom. Where they came from, I don't know, because I'm out there working every day and looking, and I can't seem to find
them. So Maria comes over the radio, and she announces to all of us that we're having babies in the in the children's garden.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was fun. But don't forget, when you are out in the garden, to encourage those pollinators, purchase plants that especially caterpillars and the monarchs, like milkweed and things like that in your garden, to encourage those type of insects.
Well, you know what you were saying about the maybe there's more predators, that I wonder if that's tied to a lot of the wet, you know, that we've had, that maybe, you know, insect population on a whole could be up. And because the praying mantis is one of the biggest predators of the monarch, of the butterflies.
Well, not only the mantis,
the
there's wasps, dragonflies, birds, frogs.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So the good thing about a monarch, though, I mean, birds and all those other, they're after any type of butterfly or caterpillar, the larvae. But the monarchs have, when eating the milkweed, I'm forgetting the name of it, but they have this certain chemical that comes from the milkweed that makes them distasteful to birds.
Oh,
so they kind of ignore them.
Yeah,
but
so,
the wasps sure do like them, and they'll just go ahead and eat the whole body, leave the wings. So that's kind of a morbid thing we're talking about now, isn't it?
Okay. Well, shift gears.
Anyway, as far as your houseplants go, great time to put them outside. If you have the space, same thing. Make sure you keep them watered well and in a bit of a shaded area. Continue to check for insects and disease, especially aphids. Aphids are a big problem at this time of year with many different plants, even crepe myrtles. If you are gardening for pollinators, which it should be, and you have a bout of aphids come about your plants, an easy way to get rid of them without using chemicals is you can just jet them off with a hose, or you can squish them with your fingers, and that way you're not using any chemicals in the garden to affect any bees or things like that.
And if people do have to spray, or they feel that that need, what's the best time to be mindful of the pollinators so you can try to do less harm?
Really, really early morning or late in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not in the heat of the day. Well, that's when they're all out, too.
Right.
Usually they're not out when it's raining either, but that's not too
you don't
advantageous
want to spray it in, yeah,
because
right.
then it just washes it, all right. off. Yeah.
I know, too, that last week we talked some about lawns and what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So any tips there as far as things they should be mindful of?
Keeping your mowing height higher
yep.
to help choke out weeds, help the grass itself retain a little bit more moisture
right.
by keeping the mow height higher. And also, you back off on the watering. This time of year is so hot, the grass doesn't retain much moisture through the blades mm-hmm. of grass. So it does appear to be dead. And it's not. It's in a dormant
right.
stage.
And I think
so take advantage of not having to cut it.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people to comprehend mm-hmm. is the grass hasn't died. It's dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And, as the temperatures change and the water increases, it will come back.
Oh, sure.
So, you can water that dormant, grass way too much, and it's not going to do you any good.
Right.
You know?
So back in my early day, I had made that mistake. It'd be water, 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 water. What's happening? Fertilizer, doing everything wrong.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So we're getting ready to wrap up our first segment here. And just a reminder, it is the Delmarva Potting Shed. And if you would like to give us a call, you can give us a call at 302-839-1059. We'd love to hear from you, love to talk to you, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're here from 9 to 11. You can call us at 302-839-1059, and that is machinery that you hear in the background. Trust me, we are live at East Coast Garden Center. So just a reminder of a few things going on here today. We've been running our tropical sale. A lot of them are really loaded with beautiful blooms. So it's a buy one, get one free, and that gives you a really easy opportunity to really give some new pop to your deck, to your porch, to the landscape.
Yep.
Just grab it, sit it in the yard, and you're done. And then if you want to buy a pretty pot to stick it in, we got those too. No work, no digging the hole. So anyway, seriously, come out and check it out. And so, Maria, we were talking about the tips for July. It's hot. It's dry. We've been extremely dry.
Yeah.
Opposite of what the spring was. And so along with the heat and the rain that we had before that, we are dealing now with some, a fair amount of both diseases and increase in pests. So, like I said, you're one of our go-to people with that. So let's share a little bit with that with the listeners.
Okay. Well, the one cool thing that we do here is we can diagnose quite a few things. I should say all things, but you can also send pictures if you ever have questions or concerns about anything that's happening in your garden. You'd be surprised what we can diagnose just by seeing pictures of them, and you can always send those to sales@eastcoastgardencenter.com, and we'd be more than happy to try to figure out what kinds of issues that you've been having. It's sometimes a lot of fun, and people, you know, benefit from knowing what is happening in their landscape. And through Delaware Extension and the Maryland Extension, the papers that we were getting, especially starting in the springtime, we're noticing a lot of things occurring in the landscape this year because of the torrential rains and things that we had last year. So there's a lot of fungus out there happening. There's a lot of trees that are having issues and whatnot. And one thing to always remember when you're planting a tree, there's an old wives' tale that's really true. And it pretty much goes for anything, but I'm thinking more or less trees and large shrubbery. The first year when you plant it, it's considered to sleep.
Yep.
And the second year, it's the root system starts to spread out and creeps. And then the third year, it leaps.
Right.
And a lot of times people become impatient. You want to see transplant shock will happen.
Right.
And it gets a little disappointing, but be patient with nature.
Yeah.
As long as you're watering the correct way and it's planted in the right spot, it'll come around.
I experienced that firsthand. I was so pleased when I first started working here a few years ago. I was able to buy a weeping birch and the serpentine one, too. It was beautiful. And so in that first year, all of a sudden, I was losing a lot of leaves. And it was, you know, and Al was here at the time. And it was like, Al, what's going on? Is my tree, you know, dying? And it was like, well, no. Be patient. Be patient. And it's true. I mean, it is beautiful now. And so I can speak when customers, because we do get a lot of calls about all the leaves are falling off my river birch.
Especially birches at this time of year. And it's just a natural shed.
Yep.
Because of lack of water and or the heat, they want to discard some of their leaves so that they can maintain their own way you want to put it. They can just maintain their own self.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
So they do lose leaves at this time of year.
Okay. So Lawrence is signaling me. Do we have a caller or is it a text? Okay. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Rocky, and I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Great.
I'm calling in Georgetown, and I have a question about my in-the-summer hydrangeas, as well as my oak leaves. Now, I'm not sure, you were talking this morning about the watering, et cetera. Can in the summers, as the blooms fade, should I cut those back?
You can. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just, and would that encourage the new blooms?
Yeah, that will. Uh-huh. And hydrangeas make a beautiful cut flower as well. So if you can cut it before it browns up, and even afterwards, it does make a nice dried flower as well.
Yeah.
So
you can put them in the vase, you know, with water when you cut them, or if you just put them in the vase, no water, just in there, they will dry naturally, and they're beautiful. It's one of the best, you know, easiest flowers I think to do that with.
I do cut my hydrangeas all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And those particular ones bloom on new wood, so you're not cutting off any other buds. So you also question about your oak leaf?
Yes, I was curious about the same thing. As the blossoms fade, which they were beautiful, and they're about 6.5 feet tall by now, can those also, if they're cut back, the blooms, just removing the blooms and pruning, will they rebloom?
You'll get some more bloom time out of it, yes.
Okay, all right. And now the next question is regarding the same beds, and they are full in the summers as well as the oak leaves. I've noticed that because of the high humidity and how the blossoms and leaves, the foliage droop to the ground, there's not a lot of air moving. So I'm getting some fungus and molds, et cetera, underneath. Should I prune up a little bit to allow air to go through there? Or would that take blooms off?
No, you can do that for air circulation. That wouldn't hurt the plant at all. Yeah, that'd be fine.
And we're coming up on a break, so we'll go ahead. Thank you for calling, and then we'll finish up talking some more about things that you might do with the fungus. Also, we'll talk about the black spot on the leaves. Thanks for calling.
Program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
And welcome back to the Del Marva Potting Shed. This is Donna sitting here with Maria and caller.
Hi.
Thank you for calling in. And we really appreciate that. Anybody else interested in chatting with us, give us a call, 302-839-1059. And just a little reminder of our hours. We are here Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, we're now here from 10 to 4. If you ever have any questions, want to get in contact with us, give us a call at 302-945-3489. So we had to break with when we were in the middle of talking with the caller, and we got him squared away with the pruning, but also Marie was talking about, the fungus that sometimes happens with different plants. So, and in particular with the hydrangeas, you'll see a lot of black spot from overhead watering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to say I really like that steel drum music before. I just had to say that. I don't know. Anyway, but before
is it time for me to go get some Bloody Mary?
Something like that. But also, I wanted to say too, when we're talking about calling in with issues or garden problems or whatever the case may be. We also love to hear about the fun stuff that happens.
True.
You know, I love when people come up to me and say, you know, I grew this zucchini that was just out of this world, or, you know, this is blooming so wonderfully. And, you know, we like to hear the fun stuff too. So just keep that in mind. There's a lot of funguses happening out and about in the landscape. There's a lot of powdery mildew happening, some downy mildew. And especially the good old black spot on roses, as well as hydrangeas. And the thing is, the key is try to keep away from that overhead watering.
Right.
That's why I'm always soaker hose, soaker hose, soaker hose. And if you do have an issue with that, there are plenty of things that we can use to treat them, but also want to make mention, most importantly, is to keep up with your housekeeping.
Yeah.
So anything that is fallen to the ground, you want to make sure that you pick up and discard, because the spores on there will still splash around with rainfall and the sprinkler systems and things like that. I'm always a big advocate of neem oil, which is kind of preventative and curative at the same time. If you do have those issues, remember that it is something that's just happens sometimes, even if you're not doing the overhead watering, because of the high humidity and things like that. So if you just keep on top of it, discard those fallen leaves, or you can even clean up the ones that are on the plant. The leaves will not come back anew, but the fresh growth will.
It's surprising because of the situation in our greenhouses, when it's really hot, we have to overhead water our hydrangeas.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, with it being so hot, a lot of them are really getting a lot of black spots.
Mm-hmm.
So One of our growers, George, you know, he trimmed everything back, you know, gave it a good trimming. And it was like, oh, my gosh, if, you know, that doesn't look like it's ready for sale. But immediately you were seeing new growth come out. And
sure.
Actually, I can use it with customers to say, see the difference here. You know, this plant is very healthy. It's putting out, a lot of flush, you know, leaves, and you're not going to see a black spot one on any of those. So it's it's good to help customers understand that, too.
Yeah. Crepe myrtles, too, now, getting the powdery mildew. I know my pokemokes in my yard, I just treated them about a week and a half ago, and they're doing fine, just fine right now. These issues can be cured,
yep,
can be taken care of without any issue. If you do have a problem or a concern and you don't understand, like we said, feel free to send us pictures to sales@eastcoastgardencenter.com or give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to talk it over with you.
Great. So, Maria, you just mentioned hearing about things that are fun.
Yeah.
So a fun fact for today is July 13th is not just national, it is International Skinny Dipping Day.
International
Skinny Dipping Day. Hmm. So I thought, now how can I tie that to gardening? You know,
because
you want to stay within the theme.
Uh-huh.
It is summer.
I'd like to hear this.
So here's what I'm envisioning. Mm-hmm. Go outside, turn your irrigation system on, or turn the sprinklers on, or somebody hold a hose for you.
Uh-huh.
Strip down butt naked.
Right.
Okay, and then run across your yard.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like streaking.
Yeah, streaking. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, you do that. And then anybody, along with the theme of sending us pictures, anybody that chooses to go do that,
right,
as a proud listener to the Delmarva Potting mm-hmm. Shed and us planting the seed for that, then send us photos. And we promise you won't get in trouble for porn.
So, oh, my God.
So we can have a little fun
We're
in
not
gardening.
Sure. With the neighbors, it depends on what you look like, I guess, whether neighbors would frown upon that or
well, no, what
encourage
you could,
it.
What you could do is have the whole block decide it's going to be International Skinny Dipping and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a little silly here. And speaking of getting silly, guess who joined us? Kara, another one of our Garden Center employees. Miss Kara, you see her. Actually, you see her everywhere. She's kind of usually out in info, but sometimes in cashier, sometimes doing sales. Just kind of everywhere that
she's
needed.
She's kind of like a butterfly flitting around.
There you go. Good morning, Miss Butterfly Kara.
Or a hummingbird just darting back and forth.
There you go. Except you don't have a really big nose, like a long nose like a hummingbird. But other than that, you know, it fits.
Well, thank you.
So we, keeping with our theme of the importance of activities in summer, but also things that can give you a real benefit, you and I said we would talk some about watering and things that you can do. Vacation, I mean, first of all, watering is essential, but also summer's a big vacation time. And so we wanted to spend some time talking about the things that you can do, from the simplest and most easy things to maybe more expensive, more complex things. But there are ways that you can, you know, enjoy your vacation, make sure that that your plants are watered. Now, of course, if you have a skinny dipping neighbor who plays with you, then you could have them water your plants while you're gone.
There you go.
So Kara, let's talk a little bit about watering and you know, some ideas that you have with that.
Well, we do have many products on the shelf that you can purchase for watering purposes. You know, starting with very simple to like the plant nannies.
Right. So tell people what a plant nanny is.
Plant nannies are terracotta plant stakes or terracotta stakes that you just put a recycled liter bottle in, or just a recycled bottle of any type in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then just stick it in the ground next to the plant.
Yep.
And it takes the water in as needed.
Yeah, and the thing that's nice is it's it comes in different sizes. So you can, you know, have a smaller size bottle like a regular water bottle, up to the liters and larger ones. And so depending on the size of the container that you need to water, it's a real simple simple way to keep on top, especially if you're just going to be gone for a week or something like that. It'll it'll really you know, take some of the worry out of that.
Yeah, the small single steaks are $4.99. The larger single steaks are $6.99, and we have a four pack of the smaller steaks for $16.99.
Right, and you know, Maria, when you did the container class recently, you also gave them some tips on a product that they can use. I think it's a polymer of some sort that you
Soil moist.
Yeah, talk a little bit about
that. I like to encourage people to use that when they're potting up plants, especially containers. It's kind of like silica gel. You know, you receive a package in the mail. You have that little package in there that helps to keep the moisture out. This works in the same way, where it attracts moisture and it kind of swells up into this jelly form. And then you mix that within the soil before you pot, and then it kind of expands and contracts with the water to help keep moisture.
Yeah,
and it works well.
Yeah, and it's now something that you need to do when you're planting the container. So if you're putting any new plants, then you know, at any time you're doing that, it should be something you consider using, especially if you tend to travel a lot and you know, and want to try to reduce the water. I think it's a great idea. Give them the warning about what happens if you put too much in there.
Well, that was funny, is because we had a container class, and like I said, mix that within the soil before you plant.
Right.
If you top dress it with that and then you water, it kind of expands like the blob. You know what I mean? And we had actually a customer call in, and she was really upset. She couldn't understand what this white stuff came oozing out of her pot. And it was just too much soil moist up on the top. That's all. But it was quite comical. But it does work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then another thing that, and from a container gardening standpoint, are the Lechuza products that we carry, and you know, those are basically it's a very unique, very effective reservoir system. You want to talk a little bit more about those, or you know, just in terms of the benefits of doing that?
It just helps with your watering and staying on top of the water. When you first plant the container, you need to water from the top up until the root system gets down into the bottom of the container, or, you know, gets deeper. And then the pot will take over the work. It has a wick that goes down in the water reservoir, and that wick sucks the water up into the soil, and it takes it as needed. You just need, there is a gauge on the top of the pot that tells you how much water is in that reservoir, just
right,
like a gas tank.
Yeah.
You know, it tells you when it's full, when it's medium, when it's, you know, getting close to empty, and then you just keep putting
right
water in the reservoir to take it back up to the top.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's so helpful about the Lechuza products, is that, you know, it does take the guesswork out of it. You really, you know what you're dealing with. And generally, they've been associated with interior, you know,
interior
plants.
Escaping. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. But they've also now brought out a cottage series, which is for outdoors. So, again, time is flying by. We're at a break. So, and Lawrence is fluttering like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk some more about all things gardening.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We are here from 9 to 11. And if you'd like to call in and ask any questions about gardening, plants, actually anything you want to, we'll give it a shot. It's 302-839-1059. Here with Lawrence on the controls. And just before the break, Kara joined us. And so we are glad to have her, too. Yes, good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Kate. She's the newest member of the Forever Media family and WXDE in Delaware 105.9, the Potting Shed, Delmarva Potting Shed.
Yay.
Go, Kate, go.
Good morning, Kate. Glad to be working with you. So I'm going to do a few reminders of some events coming up, you know, at East Coast Garden Center. Having fun is one of the things that we take a lot of pride in. And so we have coming up in a few weeks, it'll be here before you know it, on Friday, July 2nd from 4 to 7. We are, Kara's pointing at me. I said July 2nd, Friday, August 2nd. From 4 to 7 p.m. is our Brews, Barbecue, and Bushes. If that sounds familiar, it is our fourth year of doing this. It's a lot of fun. Certainly there's the Brews. And we'll have several breweries here, Crooked Hammock, Third Wave, Dogfish, Big Oyster. We'll have wine, too. We couldn't work that into the name, but Sposato and Salted Vines, we expect to have them here. For the barbecue, we've got Bethany Blues will have their food truck here, so a lot of good eats from them. And then the Bushes part of it, we're going to have a complimentary class going on in term on shrubs and shrub vine care. And at the same time, we are also going to have a sale. We're still working out the details on, you know, exactly what the sale is going to be, but count on it. If you're looking to buy some bushes, that's the time to do it. And we'll care. That's all Friday evening, but the sale itself will go on through the weekend. So Lawrence just gave me the signal that we have a caller on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you? Nice show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
I had a question. I have some Green Giant Arbs that are, of course, you know, really leggy at the top, how they grow. My question is, if I clip a couple feet off the top, will the bottom get fatter sooner?
You never want to top a tree.
Okay.
A pyramidal tree.
A pyramidal tree, yeah. Or any tree.
Right.
Because topping a tree will mess up the growth habit of that tree, and it'll have... try to do many leaders going up at once. So you never want to top that any tree.
Yeah, okay, it, I'm glad
a
I
good
called.
Example of one that's not a a pyramidal one would be with what Kara's saying is for years it was the practice to really top off crepe myrtles. That's considered crepe myrtle and the thing you don't want to do. But Kara, let me jump in on you.
Yeah, because when you're driving down the road, you'll see all these trees that have been cut because of power lines and, you know, under obstructions. And in the place of where there was once branches, you'll see all these what are called water spouts. And those are just little branches that are, you know, trying to, you know, that's just how the tree grows right. After you cut off. You know, main branches. It just puts out shoots, and these shoots
right.
have no purpose. And then it just eventually will lead to the demise of the tree because of losing balance and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, the tree can't grow the way it naturally should.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's really great, ladies. Thank you. I had one other quick question.
Sure.
I bought a bunch of big trees from Al Manny about 2 years ago and I was over there when he was retiring. Has anybody heard from him, how he's doing? He's a great guy.
Actually, I was going to mention this at the end of the show, Al retired back in the winter months, and shortly after retiring, found out that he was ill, wasn't planning on this. Anyway, we lost him the other day.
He passed away on Sunday morning.
So,
That's sad.
You're right. A great guy, and he left a lot here. So, thank you for calling in on that. The one thing that Karen and I will mention quickly is, and we'll save it as a topic for another time probably, is, we've talked about the water, and but it's also important to know what's going on with your soil. And so, Kara, mm-hmm. you want to give a quick closing thought on that?
Yeah, the soil's very important. It's a foundation on which everything grows. You just need to know what's in your soil and,
the type it is.
You can have a soil test done through the University of Delaware.
Yep.
Just know your soil.
Okay. So, again, folks, thank you.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're here until 11 o'clock this morning on FM 105.9. You can give us a call or text at 302-839-1059. And by the way, we do have a listener that just sent a text to us. So, Lawrence, you want to read that for us?
Okay. The text comes from an unnamed source. And it says, my hibiscus comes up each year with holes in every leaf. It blooms beautiful, but looks awful, awful. How do I treat it? How do I apply neem oil?
We've been talking several times about the importance of pitchers or being able to see something. So it usually when people see a hole in the leaf, they assume that it is an insect chewing, that particular leaf. Not necessarily so. Actually, what happens with some fungus is as they progress, they then break through the leaf structure. And then if you notice it then, it will just look like holes in the leaf. So the best thing to do, and we've mentioned it before, is send us a picture from your cell phone. Usually we like to get one up close to the leaf. And also a little bit distance back so we can see the full plant. Send that to us at sales, S-A-L-E-S, at eastcoastgardencenter.com. Or if you're in the neighborhood, stop in, bring it to us, and we'd love to help you with it. It's certainly not going to hurt anything if you applied neem, but I'd have us take a look at it to see if we can get a little more specific as to what's going on rather than just a broad brush. But I'm glad to hear that if you're having a situation where the blooms are overall healthy, I think that's a good indication too that the plant is. So Tom has just joined us, and he is our head of sales. And welcome to the potting shed.
Thank you, Donna.
We talked about what I did with everybody gone. invited my coworkers to come on, the ones that were brave enough to come play with me on the radio show. And Tom's always up for something good, so he loves David Letterman, and I'm going to do that as his introduction and let him explain what he's going to talk about this morning.
Thank you, Donna. Good morning, everyone. Well, I thought it would be a good topic, especially since we're almost coming to the middle of summer here, to talk about vegetable gardening. Vegetable gardening can be a great hobby, a lifelong hobby, something you can really enjoy to do, but it does take a little bit of planning and a little bit of care, and you'll have some great results, years and years of fun, years and years of food, and just being outdoors. So I thought I would break it down into three main sections. First, let's talk a little bit about planting a garden, how we're going to pick the right area that we're going to be doing, a little bit about the soil that we had previously in the last hour here, and just how to get things off on our right foot. As any real estate, the main thing you want to do is location, location, location. It's important to really find out the spot in your area that's going to be perfect for your garden. What we're going to look for is an area that's fairly level, because we want to make sure we have good water drainage. If we don't have good water drainage, we're going to be sitting in water, and we're not going to get the plants. They're going to rot, and we're going to be very disappointed. Secondly, we want to make sure that we're going to get at least 5 to 6 hours of sunshine. That's important. The sun is key in making our vegetables grow. And then we want to make sure, too, that we test our soil. And Donna talked a little bit about testing our soil. We do have kits available here at the Garden Center. Please ask anyone in a blue shirt. We'll happily to get a kit for you. In cooperation with the University of Delaware, for a $15 fee, they will take, analyze your soil, and tell you exactly what you need to make sure you get success.
And I've done that with mine when I first moved here, and the breadth and detail of their analysis is just amazing. And Tom, I do have to mention, you're absolutely right in terms of location, but also you need to be smart about it, because I wasn't. I lived in Buffalo for 20 years before moving here, and I had 2 acres. I built beautiful raised beds. I thought I had the perfect location. But there were some trees around it, but they weren't that tall. Well, you know, trees do grow. So
yes, they do.
About 4 to 5 years into my wonderful garden, now I was dealing with shade, and the trees were too tall for me to go cut.
And my garden's not producing.
Right, and so I had to modify things a little bit. So not only make sure you have full sun now, but that in the next few years you're going to continue to have full sun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Critical, critical. Another good thing you want to think about is the type of plants that you want to plant. The best way, if you're new at gardening, the best way to start out is plant things that you enjoy eating. Because that way you really get the benefit right away. Don't try to get too exotic by going through the internet and saying, oh, what can I get here, what can I get there, and you're getting all these exotic plants, only to find out they're not in our zone and they won't produce, and you get very disappointed. So much for this gardening thing. So do a little research, do a little homework, find out which plants are going to be good for your area. If you're a long-time gardener, make sure you do crop rotation.
Yeah,
I know we have our farmers down here. That's big, crop rotation. Mm-hmm. You'll see sometimes every year there's something different going in the fields. The same thing should be happening in your garden as well. Crop rotation. Do a little bit of research. You're going to have a great result.
And one of the things you can effectively do is put a green cover crop in, as you're rotating, and then when it comes springtime, just till it in, and you've got immediate impact.
Ready-made compost. So fantastic. So just a few little things ahead of time, planning, location, getting your crops picked, and then when springs come out, you're ready to go. But the key is, remember, get that soil tested. We can help you here at the Garden Center as well by giving you a soil kit and talking about the fertilizers that we have available for you. Okay, so you got your garden going, you got your plan going. What about once I plant, what happens? Do I just plant it once and I leave it alone, and 6 months later I come back and I have a full garden? Gardening is a career for yourself at home. You want to make sure you visit your garden on a daily basis, because you're going to be wanting to do checkups every day, see what your soil condition is going, see what your plants are doing, look for disease. It's an ongoing thing. Gardening is a hobby, not just a one-time adventure. So you want to make sure you give your plants a weekly checkup. Take the time, go through your garden, make sure mm-hmm. that everything is going good. Donna talked about in the last episode about diseases and everything. Same thing can happen to your vegetable plants. We want to make sure we stay on top of that right. and get things early.
And, you know, Tom has given excellent advice, and it applies anywhere that you're growing anything. You'll hear Val and Rick talk about walking the yard. Sometimes it's referred to as scouting. But you should get out periodically and look at your plants, look at your garden, look for things that are changing, really know what's going on there. Because usually if you spot something early, whether it's a pest or a disease, you're going to be much more successful in dealing with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a little bit of care also. Use mulch. Mulch is your friend, especially in gardening. It does so many wonderful things for our garden. One, it provides shade for our roots.
Right.
It holds in the moisture, and it helps keep the weed down. Weeds can be a real killer in a garden, so we want to make sure. Yeah, we want to make sure we control our weeds. So the mulch helps keep it down. But when you're doing that daily scouting, mm-hmm. as Donna talked about, if there's a weed there, pick it up, take it out of the garden because it will grow. Weeds grow very well and everything. We also talked about in the last hour about watering. Mm-hmm. Watering is key in your vegetable gardens because they're out in the sun all day. They're going to need to be taken care of by watering. Just make sure what we talked about before, no overwatering.
Right.
Take a look at the condition of your soil. Don't just look at the top. Put your finger down into the soil. See what's happening down along those roots. The roots is what's taking care of the plants up above the ground. So make sure they're getting proper moisture. If not, make sure you do it. There's always been a big discussion. When should I water? Should I water in the morning? Should I water in the afternoon? Or should I water in the evening? Ideally, we like to water in the morning.
Right.
During the heat of the day, stay away, because what happens is it just evaporates so quick, the watering doesn't benefit the plant. So you want to make sure, if you can't water in the morning, water in the evening. How you water is also right. key. Do not water the plant directly, if you can do it towards the bottom, because what happens is the water is staying on there. It's overnight, it's cool, it's moist, and what's happening? A beautiful time for disease and fungus right. to start. So again, please be sure that you water at the base of the plant and not the plant itself.
And the other thing that I was reminded of the other day is actually if the droplets of water are, you know, positioned on the leaf of the plant and you've got bright sunlight, it actually will act like a magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll get some scorch from that too. So it's there's a lot of good reasons that you need to water at the base. And we've mentioned also that one of the most effective ways of doing that is with a soaker hose.
Absolutely. You know,
and they're easy to do. We've got them here. You just lay them out along the side of your plants, and you're good to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And another good thing we want to talk about is good housekeeping.
Mm.
Sometimes we forget about that, and we wonder why we're not getting the results we want. Good housekeeping in that if leaves fall off or anything else, clean it up. Also, each time you use your garden tools, make sure
right.
you wash the garden tools before you do it again, because if they did pick up any disease where you're working in the soil, it's still there.
Right.
So making sure you clean your tools each time you use them. You say, wait a minute, I'm putting it back in dirt anyway.
Right.
There could be some diseases there, and you could be reintroducing the disease in there. So just make sure that you clean your tools as well. As we get into the garden season, sometimes our plants have a tendency to grow, hopefully.
Yes.
And they're going to grow big, and they're going to start leaning over. They're going to start
right.
falling over. Give your plants a lift. They really appreciate you being off the ground.
Right.
Because what happens is your fruit will begin to rot and things won't go well. Plus, your garden won't look as neat. You won't get the air circulation in. You're not going to get proper watering.
Right.
So if your plants are going over, stake them up. It's mm-hmm. just good housekeeping. It's just going to make your garden, one, attractive looking, and two, you're going to have a higher yield of fruit.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing, too, I mean, they're called tomato cages, but they are effective for a lot of things because not only do you have the benefit of getting them off, like cucumbers, get them off the
yep.
ground, but they will grow vertical if you trail them up a support, no matter what kind of cage it is. So it's very good advice there.
Excellent, excellent. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some more tips and then how to finish up the year, because whether we want to believe it or not, September and October is not too far around the corner.
Thanks, John.
That's it.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We were in the midst of having a nice discussion and overview from Tom on vegetable gardening and just walking through all the important steps. So I'm going to fly back over to Tom, and we're going to talk a little bit more about vegetable gardening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Donna. Yes, what I think this time we'll work on just finishing up our growing season, if you will. I got some three main points to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up by talking a little bit about how to prepare your garden to go into a winter sleep, mm-hmm. so we can be ready for that next spring come up and we are good in garden. So we got our garden underway. We're having great growth. The guys are hungry, so we want to make sure we feed them. So a good organic fertilizer, mm-hmm. would be good. If you come into the garden center, we have some wonderful products from Espoma that we can help you out with. But let's talk about that feeding, because it's so important. We want to make sure we keep the energy up in those plants so they keep producing new leaves, they keep producing that fruit that we enjoy and will be hopefully partaking into the fall. So make sure we feed them on a regular basis. We want to make sure of that. Another key thing we want to, that we're getting all this fruit and everything, we want to make sure we harvest them.
Right.
Nothing worse than having all that wonderful vegetables and fruits out in your garden and we're not picking them.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a daily routine. I know recently my blueberries have started, so I am out there on a daily basis picking my blueberries and everything.
Nice.
So make sure you make that trip out to the garden. Get the tomatoes that are coming. Mm-hmm. Get the peppers that are coming off and everything. Enjoy the fruits of your labor, if
there you
will. Make it a daily, go out and clean up, because nothing's worse than the fruit rotting on the vine, if you will, which has a tendency to bring bugs in,
right.
Which has a tendency to bring disease in.
Exactly.
So again, what we've been fighting all along to get to this point of being able to actually have vegetables and fruit,
right.
We're going to let it go by letting that fruit rot. Get in there on a daily basis, enjoy that, and have some real good eats. We want to make sure, too, that we prune properly. They talked about it before with hydrangeas and everything. We want to make sure that air gets through, mm-hmm. your plants and everything. That's critical. That's going to help promote growth. So don't be afraid to get in there and clean up, prune up, and just to make sure that things are getting the airflow,
right.
what you need. One thing when I read about this and everything, it says moms have a tendency to be huggers. You know,
uh-huh.
Come here, give me a hug. Plants are not huggers. They don't like to be hugged. Don't be afraid to get in there and thin them out and
right.
everything. It's going to promote their growth. Plants are not huggers.
Yes.
We may be huggers, but plants aren't huggers. Get them out of there, get that growth going, and I think you'll be so much happier.
Yep.
So here we are, 6-7 months into it, 8 months into it. We're enjoying the fruits of our labor. September, October are coming along, and our plants are beginning to die. What do we got to do to close our garden mm-hmm. down properly? Pull out all the dead plants, or better yet, till them in.
Yeah.
If you can till them in, you got some wonderful compost and everything, and you're starting your soil again for a great spring coming up. What you also want to do is put some compost on mm-hmm. top of that garden, at least 2 inches thick,
uh-huh.
and then till that in and just make it so it's set to go for that next spring, and you'll be able to enjoy gardening a whole lot more.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I have a friend that had a huge garden in Buffalo, and he did that religiously year after year after year. And it was amazing the beautiful loam that he turned it into.
Yeah.
Started out with clay, and it's just a beautiful loam, at least 12 to 15 inches down.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a ruler and just shove it right down in there. It was so loose and nice and dark, and it was wonderful. And Kara's got something to add here, too.
And I just want to add that we got this new product in.
Oh, called, that's right, yeah.
Called Black Earth.
Black Earth.
It's a compost. It's can be used in gardens, flower beds, lawn maintenance. It's all-purpose. It's a source of organic matter, homogeneous mixture, improves sandy soils, loosens compact mm-hmm. soils. It's made of sphagnum peat moss, calcitic limestone, and dolomite limestone.
Oh, nice stuff in
so
there.
So that's an awesome soil amendment and an awesome compost to put on top of that garden in the fall.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, and that's its new product here, but if you look at the contents and the press on it, I think it's going to be a really great addition.
And that's also good as a soil amendment, too, when you're planting those newly planted trees or shrubs.
Right.
Critical, especially down here where we take a look at our soils where we have 6-7 inches of sand,
yep.
and then we hit the clay.
Right.
Roots don't like clay. They need to get that room, and that's where that
right.
soil amendment and the black earth will be an outstanding product for you on
and
that.
And in addition, with all these new home developments going in, it's more foreign soils and also more compacted soils.
Right. Yeah, because really what they do, not surprisingly, is they strip off the top layer. Usually you're left mostly with clay underneath. It gets all compacted, then they come back on top of it. So we're getting close to another break. Tom, you want to give us some closing thoughts?
Just closing thoughts. As I talked about in the beginning, gardening can be a lifelong adventure, a lifelong hobby. It just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of planning. I know I got my start, you know, back in the day when I was a young Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. I went for gardening merit badge. My uncle was a farmer. What a great way to learn to, you know, enjoy the earth and take care of the earth and take care of your family by growing
right.
some wonderful vegetables. So, again, this is since I've been 11 years old, we've been gardening and everything. It's a great hobby. It's a great adventure, and it benefits everyone.
Right.
And I think it's a part of everyone's family way back when, because I know my grandparents were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, my brother even now works on a farm. So.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. It became a very important part of our dinner table every
night.
Oh,
yeah.
That we enjoyed the fruits of our labor.
Yeah, I like you, came from families on both sides, both farmers, and then hillbillies to boot. So for them, I was just cheap child labor, you know,
yeah.
Go out and pull this, weed this. So, folks, we're coming down to the end of another segment. I want to do a couple of shout-outs. Shout out today to all the Master Gardeners in Sussex County. If you are out and about, certainly come visit us, but pop on over to Georgetown too, because today they're having their open house. It's a beautiful demonstration garden, very educational, a lot of fun. They're going to have some food there. They're going to have ice cream. So that'll be today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please join them for that. And also to the Lewis Community Gardeners, we are going to try to have them on the show soon and talk more about that. And again, we'll be back in a little bit. Thank you for joining us on the Delmarva Potting Shed.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Good morning and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're here for our last part of the morning show. If you'd like to text us or call us, it's 302-839-1059. We've been having a lot of very interesting talks about all things gardening. But if you want to come see us today, we are located on 20366 Cordry Road. We're open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 10 to 4, or you can call us at 302-945-3489. And if you do come out, we've got our tropical sale going on. Still a lot of beautiful plants, a lot of blooms, great blooms. And coming up on August the 2nd, we've got our Brews Barbecue and Bushes. And we will have the Brews here. We'll have Crooked Hammock, Third Wave, Dogfish. We'll also have wine from Sposato and Salted Vines. Big Oyster will be here, too. And so you can buy tickets that night for your Brews. And also we'll have Bethany Blues here with the food truck. Or you can go online to our online shopping on our website, and you can get your tickets ahead of time, and there'll be a will call at the info booth when you first get here. So just an update on a few things that we have going on. And after the break, Stacy joined us, and we're really glad to have Stacy on. Stacy is another one of our extraordinary sales folks. The thing that Stacy is very talented, but she also is an artist and has, I think, an amazing eye. So she's going to talk about some of her favorites in terms of things that are blooming now and will bloom into the fall, and I think some ideas as to you know, what you can do with them. So Stacy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Yeah, I love color.
Mm-hmm.
I like to combine colors, and people do say I have a good eye, even if I don't. It doesn't seem like to me like it's anything, you know what I mean? Like putting some of those things together is
right.
Just kind of second nature, but actually, I have horrible eyesight.
Uh-huh.
I'm extremely nearsighted. I'm almost, yeah. But thanks to contacts.
Yeah.
But colors, regardless of, you know, whether it's blurry or not, I can see. I think that maybe gave me an advantage at a young age. I love all seasons, but fall is probably my favorite.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you.
And yeah.
A lot of people think that, yeah, you're not going to have as many things blooming. But I find that not the case at all. Particularly grasses really show off in the fall.
Oh yeah.
But there's a lot of flowering perennials that do too. Anemone, flowers in the fall, sedums start blooming now.
Right.
You know, and then into the fall. Another favorite is the Montauk daisy.
Mm.
So it looks a lot like a Shasta daisy, but it blooms in the fall. And of course, echinacea,
right,
which is blooming now. But all those colors that it comes in are very autumnal.
Right.
Your oranges and purples and golds, and they make great cut flowers to bring in, and you can combine them with the plumes of the grasses.
Right.
Too.
And if you've been here recently, we got really low on echinacea, and we just had a shipment come in. So I think it was like three or four different colors actually that came in on this shipment. So. It's definitely, if you were here and the selection wasn't as big, come on back in. We've got more.
Yeah. One of my favorites that we got back in is called Cheyenne Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same plant, you actually get multiple colored flowers.
Wow.
So on that one plant, that you'd get the shades of purple, the orange, the gold, and the white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without having to plant separate.
That's really unusual.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, how does that happen?
Do that. And I don't know if, but that's what that one's called, is Cheyenne Spirit. And another one we got that I like the name of is Playful Meadow Mama.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was made for me, basically, so yeah. I had to buy one. It's a new one for us, and it's like a bicolor, so I'm excited to see it bloom.
Nice.
It hasn't started yet, but I picked one up, and I'm going to plant it at home and let you know how it turns out.
Yeah, because you've got a new palette to work with
since
you just got a new house experimenting with a lot of different things there.
Yep, and a lot of different types of exposure there. I've got full shade, partial shade, and full sun. Like,
that's
all
nice.
In different spots to play with. And
we did some training back in the winter for all of our sales folks in particular. And Stacy did a presentation on different exposures and the types of plants that work best in each area. And she's really, I think, very helpful with our customers. I would encourage folks, if you've got something that you're thinking about working on and trying to make your plant selections, come in and let us help you. We've got very talented people here who can do that. So what else catches your fancy in the fall?
Caryopteris is amazing. It's like a bright electric indigo. And it's a shrub, but a smaller shrub and not quite as woody as some.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with butterfly bushes, you can cut it down to the ground level once it's gone dormant, and it'll still come up with brand new growth the next year. So you don't have a bunch of ugly twigs sitting there in the winter.
Well, and speaking of butterfly bushes, you've been out taking care of a lot of the butterfly bushes recently. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because I don't know necessarily that everyone who has butterfly bushes realizes how good it is to actually keep those neat and trimmed up, with when the flowers get spent?
Yeah. So after the flower is spent, you'll see that it just turns brown.
Right.
And not that attractive as it's brown. So clipping those off, those spent flower heads, not only makes the plant look neater, mm-hmm. But it also encourages new shoots and,
right.
and blooms to come out. And it's really easy with butterfly bushes because of the way that they grow.
That's true.
The way that they branch out.
Right.
And for like every one that you clip off, you'll see two new ones coming out.
Oh, okay.
Right below it.
Right.
And so that's where you know what spot to cut.
So it's a 2-for-1. Oh, that mm-hmm. yeah, that's
yeah.
good.
And they smell good, and you're next to butterflies usually as you're trimming them. So
that's
I find
true.
It very pleasant.
Our butterfly bushes stay covered, I mean, all the time. It really works
yeah.
well. So, and I know, too, we've been talking about, mostly flowers. How about shrubs in the fall?
So for shrubs, other than Caryopteris, the encore azaleas, for me, they shine in the fall more
right.
than any other season. And so many colors to choose from. You know,
right.
every shade of pink imaginable, corals, reds, mm-hmm. Purples, and double blooms that
right.
are very ruffly and single, just lots
yeah.
of choices. And they're evergreen. I have found that some customers worry about planting things this time of year.
Okay.
A little bit, but there's just some precautions you need to take.
Right.
I've been doing all of our planting. We're doing it right now, and we haven't had anything, not make it.
The main thing in summer, I mean, trying to plant now, it is really just being mindful of the impact of the heat and the watering that
definitely
needs
yeah.
to take place. But at the same time, I do caution people, especially with shrubs, because when we were talking earlier about annuals, it's like, you know, if you've got containers, you sometimes may have to do it twice a day, and at least daily with a lot of the annuals. But when you've got a shrub out there, newly planted mm-hmm. and, at this time of the year, and if all of a sudden you're thinking, well, I've got to water that every day, most likely, I've read it several times, and the statistic seems to hold that the number one reason that plants die is overwatering.
Yeah, overwatering.
Overwatering,
yep.
not underwatering.
Yep.
Because and what happens is when the plant's under distress, whether it's too much water or too little water, at the beginning they both look the same almost. So, most people think, oh, I'm not watering enough, and they
right.
keep piling it on, so it drowns the plant.
Yeah, I wouldn't transplant something that you dug up
right.
this time of year. But when something's been in the pot, its roots are fine. Just
right.
don't disturb the roots, and I like to soak the pots in
water.
Oh, that's
a good, yeah.
Before planting.
Right.
Yep.
Because then it'll bring the it'll help bring the water up through the bottom too
right.
when you do that. That's a really good technique.
Right,
I like that,
and it works.
Okay, Kara, you look like you were getting ready to say something. Were you getting ready to jump in on something, or I just thought that?
I was just gonna add about the watering. It's even a little bit better now to underwater than it is
right.
to overwater. If you are consider watering, like maybe every other day or whatever, check that root
right.
ball before you put water on it.
It needs to be dry.
Yeah, it's better, to drip it for a long time, get it thoroughly wet, that root ball, give it a period of time to dry out, and then water again.
Right.
Because you want those roots to go down looking for water.
Yeah.
If you constantly water for 10 minutes every day, it's just going to promote shallow root growth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you want deep root growth for your shrubs and your trees.
Excellent. Excellent advice. We're going to move up on another break. And so I will just do a reminder in terms of fall planting. We're going to come back and talk some about that. But, we've talked about all the things that are important with gardens. And if you look at the success of when you plant, some people think the spring, some think the fall. So we'll talk a little bit about what are the advantages of planting in the fall. and how you approach that, because before we know it, fall is going to be upon us. And, you know, we've been focusing on things to do in the hot heat of summer. And so one of the things I want to talk about is actually now is the best time to do your fall planning. So you don't want to go out and dig right now. Maybe you don't want to be out. You want to be inside and you want to have a glass of wine maybe or something. Get out a little piece of paper and start making your fall plans. Now's the perfect time to do it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we get back. Good morning again, and welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. It's hard to believe, but we're getting close to the end of our 2 hours here visiting with you on the radio. And Stacy was talking about fall flowers and blooms, so we want to finish that up a little bit and talk a little bit more about other activities in the fall.
Hello. During the break, we were talking about goldenrod.
Mm-hmm.
And how nice that's starting to look now, and will continue to.
Right.
Has like that, you know, bright gold in the background, which again is an autumnal color, but it works for summer going into it. A lot of people think that that causes hay fever, though.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ragweed that's blooming at the same time.
And they just because they bloom at the same time, right?
but goldenrod is it's much prettier, particularly the dwarf varieties that we have. There's one called Golden Fleece that I think it's new this year.
Yeah, I think
we've had little lemon before, but it's got really pretty foliage as well.
And, you know, that's one of the most or the things I have a good time with in the plant world is where people come up with all the names, you know.
Definitely, I'd love to have that job.
Wouldn't it be
especially
fun?
Especially like the Proven Winners container mixes and some of the names they come up with for those, yeah.
And I love, well, you've got Joe Pieweed, and then there's like Little Joe and, you know.
Baby Joe.
Baby Joe, yep.
Baby Joe, Little Joe. And Joe Pie is another great late summer into fall bloomer, and they're both great for pollinators.
Right.
And they're both native, really easy plants.
And I think, you know, I think it's always important every once in a while to just remind folks that you know how important it is to look at natives. I'm not advocating you go 100% native in your landscape, but there is a real importance to natives. But I'm going to stop with that thought because we have a caller and I don't want to leave them holding. So good morning, caller. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I love your show. I just wish I could get it in my house on the radio up here in Dover. I get it in my car unless I turn a certain direction. But I had two questions.
Sure.
I have hydrangeas in the front of my house that are not putting out a whole lot of blooms, a lot of green. And I didn't know if I should just trim that off now or wait till later. I also have my Monarda. I've trimmed it back, but of course the stems are tall and lanky. I don't know if I should cut them back or just cut back to the green part.
Yes,
when I've deadheaded them.
Stacy's shaking her and.
I'm nodding. I'm nodding about the Monarda. I'm not shaking.
No.
It encourages the stronger branching,
right.
And they probably still will bloom again too.
So I can cut it back to the stem part.
You can cut it back a bit, and it'll encourage it to have stronger branches that won't flop over as much. But it also just needs a little time. Is it established yet? How long have you had it?
It is.
Okay.
I've had it for a while. It hasn't got any mildew this year, but I'm lucky on that.
Good.
I also heard you earlier when I was on my way into Dover talking about butterflies. I'm not seeing as many, and I do feed the birds on my milkweed, and I have a lot of milkweed growing around my property. In fact, I just stopped along the road, and people stopped to ask me what I'm doing.
Oh.
And I was trying to find some caterpillars. I have released two monarchs so far. I've got
a
few more caterpillars that I have inside of a gazebo. and I've got about 10 swallowtails. I've gone ahead and bought a butterfly little net house for them, trying to get them, you know, so I can release them and the birds won't eat my caterpillars in the meantime. But I just...
I haven't seen many monarchs yet this year myself, but I don't know where they are in their migration.
I've seen two
really.
At the house, yeah.
You have? Okay. Yeah. I see a lot of the tiger swallowtails, mm-hmm. which are actually my favorite.
I see quite a few of them, but I haven't seen as many monarchs as the swallowtails, either black or, you know, the yellow.
Right.
Okay. I do enjoy your show when I can listen to it.
Yeah, and with the hydrangea, it would be helpful to know what variety you've got, because if it is one that blooms on old wood, then you could be, you know, trimming that off, because it said you've got healthy growth. If you want to send us a picture in, we'd love to take a look at it, too. Kara's going to jump in here.
And also with the hydrangea, if you are getting a lot of the green foliage growth, did you happen to fertilize your lawn with a nitrogen fertilizer?
Right.
I don't fertilize my lawn at all.
I guess.
I could probably add fertilizer.
Because I was just going to add that if you do fertilize the lawn and it gets close enough to the shrubs, the shrubs will put out more foliage growth than they will blossom growth.
Right.
Or blossoms.
It stimulates the green.
Right. Exactly.
So I appreciate you calling in. And one thing I wanted to mention to you, if you don't get it on your radio, if you've got a computer in the house, go to FM 105.9. Just Google FM 105.9. It'll come up and you can actually listen on your computer.
That's actually Delaware.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Delaware that. Delaware 105.9.
Actually, it'll come up with Lewis, too.
Okay.
But anyway, you can get it there. Well, folks, we are just about ready to wrap up here. I think I got about a minute or so left, Lawrence. So a caller called in earlier and asked about Al Manny. So I always love the end of the show when Val closes with some type of inspirational thought or quote. So I